Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
Man, you guys look good today. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Natasha. But hey, I am so excited about this series that we're in. Who's been like here for the last couple of weeks? We've been doing a series called Homegrown, and it's all about building your relationship with God at home, which I love. I love that we're doing practical things that can actually help you grow. And so if you have missed the last couple of weeks, jump on our podcast, because Pastor Sam has given two of like the most incredible messages that will actually really help you. And do you know, I'm a bit of a forgetful person. So I think Pastor Sam was saying last week, there's people in that sit in the service, and you're like, man, that was awesome. Like, it was so good. And I can describe what I'm feeling in a moment. But if I don't take notes, then it pretty much goes like in on one ear, out the other. So then I leave church and I'm like, oh, I can tell you that I felt great. And I'm that person that goes up to someone and be like, man, that was so good. They're like, yeah, what did you like? And I'm like, it was good. So take notes. I even wrote it down in my notes to remind you to take notes, because when you go back during the week, it actually helps you. It helps you remember what the revelation was in the service so that you can help feed yourself during the week. But here's some of my takeaways. So I have taken notes the last couple of weeks, and here's some of my favorite takeaways from this series. New Testament Christianity is DIY Christianity. So what it means is that we used to have someone that would go up the mountain and get the revelation to bring back to the people. So they kind of didn't have to do anything. They just waited and got the revelation. But New Testament Christianity is that we actually go and dig in the word ourselves, that we actually go and find the revelation for ourselves. Reading the Bible is like treasure hidden in a field. On the surface, we can miss things. We can miss things. But if we dig beyond the surface, we find treasure in the word of God. You know, we're guaranteed to get hungry during the week. Who's going to, like, does anyone else get hungry? Just me? Yep. Just a couple of people, a couple of quiet people. But I love this. It says in Matthew 5, verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. That's where this whole series came out of, that we want people to be filled. We want people to be growing. We want people to be hungry for a relationship with God. And here's another one. Our growth at home can be sped up or slowed down by the people around us. If you desire growth, hang out with people of your future. Man, how good is that? I love that we have pastors that are just so wanting you to grow, and that they give you practical, tangible things that you can actually take hold of. And it makes for great conversations too. Like, it makes, like, all these kind of sermon series make for great conversations during the week when you're catching up with people for coffee, or if you're in a connect group. And as I've been chatting with people about this series and about their relationship with God, because I think it's good to chat about, because it actually helps you. And chatting about, like, how people are, like, what are their struggles? What do they struggle with? And you know, the thing that people struggle with the most is, how do you have a relationship with a God you can't see? That's a good one. I'm like, yeah, that's true. Where do you start with your relationship with God? And what does it practically look like? And so I get it. Like, I've been there. I've been in church before, and the instructions just read your Bible. And that's cool. And then you leave on a Monday. You're like, okay, read your Bible, open my Bible. Like, where do I even start? Like, how does this become alive? How does it become revelation? How do I want to continue to do this? And so, you know, I'm that person that started the Bible reading app. Anyone got YouVersion on their Bible? And I start it every year. And do you know, I went in, this is no joke, I went in the other day just to see how I was going. And I mean, I knew how I was going because I don't use it. But it said you have zero perfect weeks. I was like, oh, shamed by the Bible app. And also you have 364 days left to go on your Bible reading plan. And just before you get worried, I do read my Bible. I just don't use the app. because, you know, you got to find what works for you. And every year I keep thinking that that might work for me. And every year I discover it doesn't. But for someone, that's going to be your thing. And so, like, don't think that there's one perfect way. There's no perfect way to have a relationship with God. It's just a perfect God. So when you understand what it means to have a relationship with God and that we were built for relationship with God, then you figure out the how, because it just becomes so darn important to you. It's just so important that you figure out the how. You just make it work. And that's God's desire. And, you know, on the Bible reading thing, like, I mean, we're going to be talking about it a bit more, but hey, if you need, if that's like a struggle for you and you need help with that, we have connect groups that are all about like following Jesus and how that actually looks from a practical point of view. We also have alpha groups. Like, we have things that can help you if that's a struggle. So our welcome spot is fully equipped for all of that sort of stuff. So I just want to throw that out there as well. But, you know, God's relationship, God's desire for us is that we're in relationship. And so we're gonna like kind of set up camp in Ephesians today. Are you guys good if we like kind of keep coming back to a bit of a chunk of scripture? Okay, so find Ephesians 3 in your Bible. And we're gonna start reading at verse 16. And it says, I pray that out of his glorious riches that he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And if you're taking notes this morning, so you can reference it back during the week, then my message title is That You May Be Filled. That You May Be Filled. And I love that God's purpose in relationship is that he can draw us close so that he can fill us. And so how do you even begin to build a relationship with God? So that's what I want to talk about today. So point one is the construction requires investment. The construction requires investment. Now, I don't know if there's any homeowners or people that have built a home in this place this morning, but if you have done that, then you would understand that to build a house requires significant investment. It's a significant investment. It's time, it's money, it's sacrifice. You know, you've got to like draw up the plans. Then you have to go through the whole process of getting them approved. And then once you've done that, then you have to get like then you have to like invest in time and in trades and in people that are actually going to build it, in materials. And then on top of that, you have to see the entire project through to completion. Like, it is a full investment. And for a relationship to grow, it's a full investment. You can't be partially invested in a relationship and expect to get the full benefits of it. You can't be partially invested in it and expect that it's going to grow the way that you want it to grow. It just doesn't work that way. If you don't invest in the entire process of building a house, then when you stop investing, it will stop being built. And not only that, but it'll start deteriorating. Because if something isn't maintained, then it will start deteriorating and you'll start to see decay. And it's exactly the same with our relationship with God. And in verse 19, it says, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. It says to know this love. To know this love. It's about knowing a person. To know it means that there has to be an exchange of investment. You can't know something unless there's an exchange of investment, that you've actually put in the work to get to know them. So I want to ask you this morning, what are you investing into your relationship with God? Because he's standing on the other side offering every part of himself, every part. And I think we so often want the benefits of relationship, but we don't want to put in the work to make it great. And, you know, I'm not married, but I have a lot of married friends. And when I talk to them about marriage, they're like, man, marriage is awesome, but it's work. And you have to continually choose that person every single day. Are you continually choosing God every day? And if you are, does he know? Does he know that you're choosing him every day? I found that the more time I spend with God in prayer or reading my Bible, the more fruit I see, the more I want more, the more I want to be in his presence, the more I want relationship with him. And you know, in week one, Pastor Sam was talking about how you can read the Bible and sometimes you can get nothing. I don't know, has that ever happened for anyone? I feel like it's happened for me. Sometimes I've read the word and I come away, I'm like, okay, I don't know what I just read. Like, that can happen. And so I want to release you. Like, maybe, like, you know, you've left reading the Bible feeling discouraged and thinking, well, I guess it's just not for me. Like, maybe that's just not going to work for me. But you know what I found? That when I read the Bible out of obligation, instead of out of a desire for relationship, then pretty much 9 times out of 10, I find nothing. Because I'm reading it because I feel like someone told me at church that I have to read my Bible if I want to be in relationship with Jesus. But that's not a reason to read your Bible. Read it because you so desire a relationship with him. Read it because you want to get to know him more, because you're hoping that every time you read it, you're going to find something different. And if you read it like that, you will. Do you know, every time I open my Bible now, I actually pray before and I'm like, God, just reveal yourself to me. And every time I find something. Every time I do that and I read it because I'm desiring relationship, I find something. And, you know, as well, it's not always this big, massive revelation. Sometimes I read it and I come away with, oh, that's cool. Sometimes I, like, read it and I come away with, oh, man, I've never seen that before. And sometimes I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is blowing my mind right now. But I think everyone expects that reaction every time they read the Bible, but that's just not what happens. Every time you dig, gosh, people are paid for mining jobs. They don't strike oil every time they dig. If they did, then, oh my gosh, we'd have so much oil. No, they have to dig to find treasure. And so sometimes you're going to have to dig a bit before you get those, oh my gosh, this is blowing my mind right now moments. So if you have been feeling a bit discouraged and if you're like, man, Chrissy, like, I've dug before, I've read the Bible, I feel like I get nothing, then, like, dig again. And if you dig and you find, oh, that's cool, that's a revelation. That's something that you didn't know before. That's something that's actually going to help you. Do you know, when you're in a relationship with someone, you hang off their every word. You hang off their every word because you want to know everything about them. God already knows everything about you. He created you. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows absolutely everything that there is to know. So it's your turn. Ask him questions. Ask him questions. Go searching in his word for answers. Like, you actually have to go searching. And God isn't afraid of your questions. I think sometimes we think that he is, but he's actually not. He wants you to ask questions. That's part of having a relationship with someone. It's not that he just tells you everything about him and then you're like, okay, cool. No, he's like, no, ask me. Like, go searching for answers. Get specific. Ask something specific so you know that he specifically answered you. Don't just do it like, hey, God, feeling stressed this week. Cool, so help me with that. Thanks, amen. Like, come on. No. Pray like you're actually having a conversation with someone. Pray like, hey, God, man, I am so stressed right now. I've got this meeting on Friday and it's a review meeting and it could make or break my career. And so, God, I'm just praying that I would just experience peace, that from the moment I walk into that room, that I would just feel calm, that, Lord, that I would find favor, that I would get a great review. Not just that, but I'd get a 20% pay rise. Come on, like, get specific, because then you'll know that God specifically answered you and you can actually give him glory for that. I think God often misses out in getting credit for things that he's actually answered because we were so general in our request that even we don't recognize that he answered it. Like, I've been there. I know what that's like to just, you know, pray for a general thing and then not give God credit, even though he really did answer it. If you invest in specifics, God will deliver you a specific answer. Give him something that allows him to quantify moving in your life. Give him something that allows him to quantify moving in your life. Do you know, one of the things that we used to do when I lived in Sydney was that every year around New Year's Eve, we would write we called it a dream card, and I would write what I was praying and believing God for. It was 10 things. And it was specific. Like, it was very, like, everything, like, that I wrote down was really specific. And to be honest, I felt really scared because I was, you know, my honest thoughts were, what if God doesn't come through? And, you know, I think we so often live with that. We live with, but what if I write it down? What if I do get specific and God doesn't come through? Well, what if he doesn't? Who cares? Like, what have you lost if he doesn't come through? But what have you gained if you got specific and you actually gave him a chance to show his power in your life? And I realized that at the end of every year, sometimes I would forget about the things that I wrote down and other things I'd still be praying about. But I would pull out the dream card just to, like, be like, I just want to give God some, like, thanks and glory. And do you know what? I would go through it one by one. Tick, 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 tick. Because I got specific enough that I actually knew whether he'd answered it. And I, so give him an opportunity to do that. And, you know, not everything got answered. And there's still things that I'm believing him for, but that's okay. I'm still going to pray specific prayers because then I can give him the glory that he so rightfully deserves when he comes through. And so I want to, like, encourage you to invest in your prayer life and give him your full attention. Do you know it's better to pray for 5 minutes when you're focused and when you're intentional about building relationship than to try and pray for 25 minutes and then 5 minutes in you're already thinking about what's for dinner or about the fact that you might have missed something on Instagram or that there's something in your room that needs to be fixed. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's nothing worse than being in a conversation with someone who's distracted. I hate that because it makes me feel like I'm not valued. Don't make God feel like he's not valued. Just give him your focused attention. Make him feel valued. And I just want to make a confession this morning. It never feels enough. Oh, I just went quiet. It never feels enough. But that's how the devil will kind of come in and he will make you feel like it's never enough. He'll make you feel like, oh, Chrissy, like, you know, you're up on stage. You should be like, you should be spending hours in the word, hours in prayer, like doing this. Like, it's not enough. Like, why do you even bother? Do you know that thought comes into my mind so much and I have to continually push it aside that sometimes, yeah, sometimes there may be a conviction that you do need to stretch a little bit, but other times, like, even if it feels like it's not enough, do it anyway. Do it anyway, because it's not about the quantity. It's about the quality. So do it because you want to build relationship and you'll find that that will overtake any kind of condemnation that could try and come against you. And I know that, like, no matter what, that there is a portion of my day that God has my undivided attention. And to be honest, that differs every day in what that looks like. But I make sure that I do my best to make sure that there's part of my day that I'm like, God, this is yours and no one else's. Our relationship with God is always under construction. It is. Just like a workout, it's never going to get easier. You just get stronger because that's what it is. He doesn't fill us so that's it. He fills us so that he can continually fill us. He wants a relationship, not so that we just make a one-off decision, but he wants to be there all the time. And it will always require investment, but it is the most rewarding relationship you'll ever have. Number two, the foundation is faith. In verse 16, it says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Do you know the other statement I hear the most from people is, well, how do you have a relationship with someone you can't see? It's a great question. And I love verse 17 in the Passion Translation. It says, then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. It says by constantly using your faith, that every time you read the Bible, you have to believe that it is the living, breathing, active word of God. You have to believe it's alive. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, for the word of God is living and active and it is full of power, making it operative, energizing and effective. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It is alive and it is full of power. So how do you get it? Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You build your faith by hearing the word of God. You build your faith by being in the word of God. You build your faith by coming to church, by being in atmospheres that are surrounded by people who are going to help you build your faith. Do you know when Pastor Sam last week was talking about being surrounded by the people that are actually going to project you into your future, that are actually going to speak faith into your life? That's not just a great thought. It's because that's how you're going to get power. That's how you're going to become alive. That's how it's going to build your faith. And you know what? You need it. Hebrews 11:6 says, and it's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Faith is the very foundation for your relationship with God. And it's through faith that God will dwell in your heart. Ephesians 3:17 says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. The word used for dwell is actually a Greek word, which means permanent home. I got news for you. God wants to move in. He wants to move in. He doesn't want this just to be like a one-off decision. He wants it to be something that he can be around 24/7, not just like a date on Sundays. He wants to date you every day of the week. He wants to be in a real committed relationship with you. And do you know what? I get it. Because when you're in love with someone, you want all of them. You don't just want to like... You don't just want to like spend time with them every now and again. You want to spend time with them all the time. And he is so in love with you. He is so in love with you. And when we pray the prayer, which I'm going to give you an opportunity soon to do, to invite Jesus into our heart, it's not a one-time thing. We're inviting him to move in. We're inviting him into a relationship that we're going to do every day with him. Because that's what he wants. The thing that stands out to me, though, is that we need his help. In verse 16, it says, I pray out of his glorious riches that he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in his inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. You actually need to read this scripture back to front because the foundation is faith and that we have faith so that Christ may dwell in our hearts. But for him to dwell in our hearts, we need to be strengthened with his power. You read it back to front that we need his power to be able to do all of that in the first place. And why? Because we're made up of spirit and body. You're not just a piece of flesh walking around. You have a spirit inside of you. You're both, and you need to build your spiritual strength with God. You need to do it with God so you can overpower your flesh. I don't know if you've ever left like a church service and you're feeling like all like inspired and you just can't wait to get home and you know, Monday comes, you're like, I'm going to pray for like an hour. Maybe this is just me. And you get all inspired because I'm an all or nothing person. And then I get home, Monday morning comes, I wake up. I have all the intention in the world. I have all the desire in the world, but I don't have the stamina. And so after 5 minutes, I'm checking my watch going, that like, is that really fine? Is this working? Like, I'm pretty sure my watch just stopped. It must have been an hour already. And it's not. But it's not because I don't have the desire. It's not because I don't know how to. It's because I don't have the stamina yet. And, you know, God, like, wants us to build our stamina. It's just like I could watch all the Instagram videos in the world about getting a six-pack. I could. I could know how to do it. I could know the exact moves. I could study it so that by the time I get to the gym, I know exactly what to do. But when I get to the gym, if I haven't done any of the work before, if I'm not conditioned, then I'm going to get to like 2 sit-ups and then be like, oh my gosh, I'm dying, which has happened to me before. because I haven't built the stamina yet. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. It just means start where you're at. It means start with something that you can do. God's not saying pray for an hour. He's saying just pray. So start, if 5 minutes is something that you can give him your undivided attention, give him 5 minutes. And then the next day when you go back to the gym, then you're going to be able to add on a little bit. And then you'll find yourself strengthening in your stamina. And so I love that, like, it's exactly the same, that God doesn't, like, he offers his strength to help us. He offers his strength to actually help us do it because he knows we're going to need it. And we need to be strengthened with the power of God. I need his strength to stay in faith. I need his strength to stay in relationship. I just need his strength. Full stop. And it's available for you. God isn't the God who gives you a list of commands and instructions to follow it out and then is just like, cool, see ya. No, that's not who he is. He makes it clear and then he empowers you to walk it out. But the best part is he walks it out with you. He's like, hey, I want to do this with you. I want to show you how to do it. And number three, the refills are unlimited. They're unlimited. I love free refills. I love free refills. I like went to the movies the other day. They don't offer free refills, by the way. But I hate having to be that person who needs to ration things out so that they last. Like, that is not my personality. I don't like it. And so when I get to the movies and they're like, oh, that's $100 for the popcorn and the drink, because you have to get that for the large one. So then I'm like, oh, I'm not going to pay that. So I'll just get the medium one. But then they're so smart and they like give you an extra large popcorn to go with the medium drink, knowing that you're going to get thirsty. And so you get in the movie and you have to sit down and you're like, oh man, I have to ration this out. Otherwise I'm going to be so thirsty at the end of it. Like, I hate rationing and I hate being thirsty. They're like the two things I hate. But the thing that I love about God is that he fills us to overflowing. He fills us to overflowing. I'm grateful that he doesn't just offer us a portion, but he offers us the fullness of God. He offers us the fullness, and there's nothing greater. And the one thing I've learned about God is that God is a God of overflow. There is not one time in the Bible that he doesn't deliver over and above what he promises. Do you know there's a story in the Bible about him giving five fishes and two loaves, and it's to feed 5,000 people, which is like crazy. But it's a miracle, and so he does that. And it says that once everyone had eaten to the full, there was stuff left over. Then there's another story that the disciples who were experienced fishermen were fishing. They caught absolutely nothing. And then he's like, okay, I'm going to show you my power. So he's like, do it again. Put the nets on the other side. I mean, come on, that's like a miracle. Like, if there were fish, they would have been caught. And so they all jump into the net, and then the nets are like breaking because there's so many fish. He's like, I don't just want to meet your need, I want to overflow it. I want to overflow your need. I want it to be something that there will be left over, that there'll be overflow. God is not going to shortchange you. I feel like that's a word for someone today. God is not going to shortchange you. In verse 18, it says, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That you may be filled. Not full, but filled. Because it infers a continuing action. He doesn't just want to fill you so that you can walk out full. He wants you to keep coming back. Because he wants the relationship with you. And you know, we're always trying to find fulfillment in life. And we try and fill it with so many things, which ironically drain us. Because the only thing that will really satisfy is Jesus. And we wear ourselves out searching and seeking for things that might fill us. We search and seek for things like status and titles and positions and money, relationships. But they're never going to satisfy. They weren't created to, and we keep God at a distance, and often it's unintentional. We keep him at a distance because we think that God is going to empty us and take away, but that's not who he is. He's a God that wants to fill us to the measure of all the fullness of God. And if you're questioning God this morning, if you're doubting, the best way to eliminate doubt is to spend time with someone. Your questions won't get answered at a distance. You need to get close to gain understanding. James 4 verse 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. The times that I've struggled with my relationship with God are the times that I've specifically distanced myself from him. It's never that he's not there. It's always that I'm letting something block me from entering the fullness, from experiencing the fullness of that relationship. And it's often disappointment or offense that will cause me to question the character of God. And I remember going through one of the toughest seasons of my life. And my relationship with God, honestly, it just felt like it was hanging by a thread. I felt pretty empty inside, pretty dead, pretty depleted. I just didn't feel alive. And it was because I'd let both of those things come in. It was disappointment in a relationship, which led to offense at God because I felt like he'd let me down. And it caused me to just keep my distance. I doubted that God was good. and that he wanted the best for me. And so I lost faith. See, the scripture says by constantly using your faith, because you're going to need to. Distance is never going to be a good thing in relationship. You need to draw near to experience the benefits. But the best thing about it is if you have doubted God before, his arms are wide open. You're only a prayer away. Matthew 11, 28 to 30 says this. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. God wants relationship with you. Get away with him and let him teach you how to live. Allow God to fill you, but let him continually fill you.